In the name of the ever-living, ever-loving, and ever-leaning God, amen. Please be seated. As we come nearer to the beginning of a new liturgical year, our readings turn towards the promise of Christ's return. Our collect this morning contains two powerful sentences. O God, whose blessed Son came into the world that he might destroy the works of the devil and make us children of God and hosts of eternal life, grant that having this hope, we may purify ourselves as he is pure, that when he comes again with power and great glory, we may be made like him in his eternal and glorious kingdom. The Christian faith has always been characterized by a strong and focused sense of the future, with belief in the second coming of Jesus as its most distinctive detail. As Jesus assured us of his promise to return, this promise elicits hope, and it can create in us a paralyzing fear if it is misconceived, where we can potentially live out a listless expectancy with little knowledge and participation in Christ. Well, Paul's short letter to the Thessalonians, and it is a very short letter, both letters 1 and 2, captures his appreciation of this newly forming Christian community. And he expresses profound greetings, joy, and desire for God's grace to be among these people. This is the very first writing of the New Testament, and it took place before the Gospels were written, somewhere around 51 AD. And what its intention was to do was to address false concerns about this second coming of Jesus Christ, the fears and anxieties, the when and if and how it was going to take place. And as I said, it's addressed to this newly forming community, but it's also addressed to us in our lives today and how we live out our faith and how we live as global citizens. His goal is to encourage our participation always in the Christian life, first and foremost, modeling ourselves to be disciples, followers, and stewards. The fate of all believers, beginning with those who have already died and fallen asleep, will be to rise to new life when Christ returns. There's a strong imagery of clouds, of angels, trumpets, and the thief in the night, which draw from themes of the Hebrew Bible. In this early forming community, it was thought that Christ's return would be in this very first generation. Paul's comforting message was to comfort them and to reassure them in Thessalonica that the living and the dead both would be rising in Christ, the ones that had died before coming before the ones that were now dying. Both our epistle and the gospel readings are meant to strengthen us in our own preparation and energize what this looks like for when Jesus returns. To be prepared for this return, then, which we do in our walk of faith, doesn't mean to be fully prepared, to reach some state of spiritual perfection. Preparation means only to desire Christ, or at least to desire the desire for Christ. And it is in this desire that puts us on the right path, and then on this path, we do the very best that we can in our thoughts and words and actions and prayers, one step at a time. This is a practice, my friends. When we do our best, it gives us oil for the journey, the oil for the lamps, and the desire for God gives us wisdom as our gentle and persistent guide. If we're doing our best, then, one small step at a time, God will take our hand and do the rest. So what are we to make of this message for today? Life has always been hard to navigate, and that doesn't seem to be ending anytime soon. It sure seems like it's very, very difficult today. Through the Episcopal News Service, Presiding Bishop Curry issued a statement on November 7th. He decried the reported killing of 10,000 Palestinians in Gaza so far by the Israeli military in response to the Hamas's massacre of Israelis a month ago. Curry called for an end to all killing in the region while acknowledging the conflict's complexities. Curry, in his statement, called on the United States government to press Israel to end bombing in civilian areas in Gaza and to enable a greater flow of humanitarian aid to this territory, which is one of the most densely populated ones in the world. The carnage with this estimated 10,000 lives lost to this point has resulted in an increasing anti-Semitism across the whole world and across the United States. For me, wearing a collar and not to speak out about this is to make myself complicit, and I refuse to do that. Curry informs us that every human child of God, Palestinian and Israeli, deserves safety and security. We need to stop this killing today. This follows the instructive as we teach in the Gospels. So here, let me draw us back in to our relationships. Dialogue, empathy, and understanding can be rare during even the best of times. And this war in Gaza has brought incompatible views and bitter disagreements to the forefront. But despite all of this, and in the midst of this, there's a remarkable friendship brotherhood, as they would call it, between two Middle Eastern fathers, one who is Israeli and the other who's Palestinian, who each lost their daughter to the decades-long conflict between Israel and Palestine. Both of them belong to a parent circle, a support group for those who have lost relatives in this conflict. An interviewer asks them if they find it necessary for people across the world to choose a side in the conflict, to which they reply, "No, no." The Israeli Rami Elhanan exclaims, "This is not like a football game where you need to embrace your team and be against the other team." We always say, "Don't be pro-Israeli. Don't be pro-Palestinian." We say, these two fathers say, "Be pro-peace. Be against injustice." Both societies are contributing to the atrocities, and we can't stand idly by without the cause for peace and without restraint for humanitarian response, at least to be attempted. Relationship, my friends, is the very oil of preparedness in these lamps in our gospel passage today. Today's conflicts are intense and they're deplorable, and our prayers need to be spoken and shared and voiced first and foremost. Our compassion, our love, and our action are the antidotes to this tendency to fall asleep at the wheel of life, or fall asleep as we read this morning. Our responsible living and loving will keep our lamps lit. Day by day, our Christian duty calls us into an apprenticeship which will overcome our selfishness, our pride, our tribalism. Don't let yourself fall into complacency or cynicism or despondency, but be aware of your blind spots, your biases, and push against them to be more open. Carrying the cross of Christ brings light and hope into the most dire of circumstances. Be that carrier of light, the crusader of hope, the beacon of love which upholds each of God's creatures amidst our forsakenness. God needs each one of us to be ready, and our faith is sustained in community, supporting each other and seeking to understand amidst profound complexity and confusion. Speaking the truth in love, however, will be guided by the Holy Spirit. To participate in Christ, to be an apprentice, is to accept and live into this apprenticeship, day by day, prayer by prayer, step by step. And in that, we accept our own faults with a softened and forgiving heart. Incrementally, may we become the children of God that he intends us to be. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, stay ready, stay awake, keep your lamps lit, keep them fueled, and stay in love. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, enkindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Amen.